Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Life Coach Cindy Chavez, and this is your daily dose of happy. We're so happy you decided to join us today. And this is a sort of a follow-up to the episode we created a little while back as an introduction to the people on local cable access who are now watching us here on LOA Today. So we welcome them to our podcast listening audience and to local viewers. This is actually a show based on a podcast that I've been doing for the last 8 years with 8 different co-hosts currently, and there have been others in the past as well. It's on the topic of the law of attraction, and we gave a little introduction to it with our first episode, which you may have seen a few days back, but this is a follow-up again with my friend Cindy Chavez contacting us today once again from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Cindy, since you and I recorded that show, you and I have had quite a few LOA type experiences, as we like to call them, and we figured we should probably go over them, you know. Not to mention the fact that we're both wearing orange today. I don't know how we managed to do that one, but
it really was funny because anybody that watches us regularly knows I usually wear black, and this morning I just chose an orange shirt. And when I got here, I was like, "Oh, you got the memo. That's great."
And I usually wear blue, which just goes to show, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, yes. So since I've seen you, we've had a hurricane. Hurricane Delta came to visit us. And, you know, the hurricanes, when a tropical storm or a tropical depression gets to a tropical storm, they will give it a name. And so they work through the alphabet. And this was the first, I think it's only the second time it's happened that we went all the way through the alphabet. Before the season was over and had to start with the Greek alphabet. So we were to Delta by the time this storm Delta came through a couple of weeks ago. And that was really an amazing story that I really wanted to share. And I had kind of forgotten about it. So I'm glad you had brought that up.
And it's worth noting that you live, Baton Rouge is north of New Orleans, and as most people know, New Orleans is like Hurricane Central. A lot of storms come through there. So it's not like you're not used to having hurricanes, but this is a little bit different.
We're used to having hurricanes, and in the past, I've been here for quite a few hurricanes, so for Hurricane Andrew, I think it was 1992, we were without power for about 10 days. And Hurricane Katrina, which was 2005, we were without power for 10, 12 days. For Hurricane Gustav, which was 2007, we were without power for 25 days. And so, and there's a lot more that goes along with it, even if you don't get structural damage or have trees down, just a lot that goes into getting ready for, you know, hurricane season and when there is a hurricane approaching. So when this one was coming, though, this one, a lot of the other ones didn't hit us directly. This one was coming right at us, like the eye of the hurricane. Every map that I saw had the little eye of the hurricane right under the words Baton Rouge on the map. And it was like, oh, great. So we kept asking people to, you know, send good energy our way and put out some intentions that we wouldn't lose power. We have gone through some hurricanes before and not lost power. Here's the thing that happens, though, when you do lose power, is that when the crews can finally work, because they have to wait until it's safe for them to go out. They don't just come out in the middle of the hurricane. So once it's safe for them to come out, they will come out and start restoring power first to the hospitals, to the water treatment plants, to the communication systems. Like, that's all critical infrastructure, and it has to be taken care of first. And then they go into the residential areas. And, of course, they will fix whatever they can fix that will restore the largest amount of homes back to power the quickest. Mm-hmm. My particular house at times has been on the grid with only me. Right now, I think there are 5 people. And so we're at the very bottom of the list. And I understand that. I'm actually fine with it. I don't get upset. Why aren't they fixing my power? Right. Because I know that there are other things that are prioritized, and that's fine. But that was what was so funny. I know when I reached out to you and said, we lost power, because it was like, 9:15 at night, and everything had seemed to go pretty well, and then there it went. Just, you know, no power. We said, oh, okay. So I know I sent you a message and said, well, we lost power last night, and you said, well, I'm going to envision the power coming back on today. And I said, well, hold up. I said, that would be a miracle, because it would be. And you, and I said, you know, that would be an uber miracle. Getting it back on inside of a week would be a miracle. Mm-hmm. So that would be like an uber miracle. And you said, well, I'm okay. Okay. Then let's go for the miracle. I'm okay.
Right.
And I said, well, I'm good with the uber miracle, but you know, I'm just saying, well, I had someone else later on that afternoon. I think the power had been out now for maybe, you know, 18 hours. And at that point, you know, you're hopefully you've been able to find ice, or if you don't have a generator, right? And we didn't have a generator. So you're trying to make sure that you don't lose everything in the refrigerator and freezer and, you know, all these kind of things, right? We're really fortunate because we have gas water heater and a gas stovetop.
Oh.
So at least we can have like a hot shower or a hot bath and we can cook food, right? Because if everything's electric, you can't do any of that either. So we were fine. We were trying to put all the food in the ice and everything. And I was reaching out to my different communities and saying, you know, send some good energy our way. We're without power and, you know, we're fine. We're thankful. No trees were down. There's a lot of debris, but no trees, no structural damage, but you know, it's an inconvenience, and send some good energy our way. And I was explaining to someone about how it works with, you know, with the infrastructure needing to be first, with areas where, look, I don't want them to come fix my power when they could be using the same, you know, technology and the same amount of time to put thousands of people back on the power grid. Like, I get that. And the person said to me, well, I don't let limitations like that. I don't take those into consideration. I don't let those limitations stop me or, you know, and it had a kind of energy to it, right? Of like, I wasn't quite ascended enough, right? You know, but here's why I'm saying that, because what I said is, oh, no, I want to know the limitations. I don't let the limitations affect my magic. I don't let the limitations affect what I can envision for or what possibility I can see. But I want to know the limitations because it's all about holding that paradox. And then that's how you know the miracle happened.
Okay.
I live here long enough to know, because I've already been through several hurricanes where we lost power for a long amount of time. But also I know why. I know the process. Right. So it's like, because I know that at 8:45 that evening when it had been 23 and a half hours and we actually, I mean, it was pitch dark, you know, there's no power.
Right.
So we were like, well, we might as well just go to bed. I mean, you know, it's dark. We got into the bed and pulled the covers up and boom, the lights went on. And we were like, yes. Right. So of course, then we hopped out of bed and came out and started, you know, putting food back in the refrigerator. But what that did for me to know how that works, it was like, okay, this really is a miracle. Like I said it to you. I said the same day would be a miracle. And we just kind of like slid into home plate, right? It was 23 and a half hours.
But, 30 minutes to go.
Yeah. But so I think, you know, a lot of times in law of attraction kind of circles, there's this real fear of a couple of things. One is the real fear of feeling bad, real fear of any emotion that's not pleasurable and happy. And sometimes a real fear of like looking at facts or data. Like, oh no, I don't want to look at that because that, you know, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to talk about the fact that it usually takes 25 days. Don't do that. It's like, but I think that it's fine if you can hold that paradox. Now, if someone's saying to me, you know, usually it takes 2 weeks, would completely just, you know, blow my mind to where I couldn't have any kind of vision for it happening sooner, then maybe I wouldn't want to hear that. But I'm fine with knowing the facts and the data, because then when we do have a wonderful event, it seems even better. It's like,
well,
even
it
better.
I mean, how much better could it be? You got it on in 24 hours when you expected it to be off for a week? I mean, that's... pretty darn good.
And you know, if I didn't know about all that, then I might just say, oh, thank goodness the power's back on.
Mm-hmm.
It'd still be a good thing, right? But I wouldn't have all of those details that let me know it was really kind of a big deal.
So since we have a new audience that we're reaching out to here, along with our regular podcast audience, and the new audience is kind of new to this whole LOA concept, which we did define in the last program, but maybe the person watching today didn't see that program that we did.
Right.
So let's just kind of do a little quick overview of what we're talking about here. LOA, which we've been referring to, that's the law of attraction. Basic idea of the law of attraction is the same thing as what Christians call sowing and reaping. So what you focus your attention on, what you give your energy to, what your emotions get all attached to and so forth on a regular basis, that's going to produce very similar kinds of results in your life that have what we call a similar vibration, similar feelings, similar level of experience. And it truly is, in our experience anyway, now this is a belief system. This is not a physics law, at least not yet. We think it will be eventually, but right now it's just a spiritual law. And it is a law that we believe in and that many people around the world believe in. And it is a law that is that was popularized by a movie that came out about 14 years ago called The Secret. So you may have heard of that one. And what we're talking about here is how we applied the basic principles of how you use this sowing and reaping, this attracting like attracts like and so forth, in order to do things like get the power back on, which doesn't seem to the average person who is familiar with this stuff to be any kind of connection. It's like, well, if the power came on, you got lucky. If the power came on, you didn't have anything to do with it. So we need to kind of draw some lines here to show people where are the connections.
Okay, so, and that may be true. Maybe I got lucky. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. The other thing is, I think, though, is that when you do this kind of work, that sometimes something can be a coincidence. And over time, when you've done the same kind of work and seen the same kind of results, there comes some point where to call it a coincidence doesn't really feel genuine anymore. It's like, it's too much to be a coincidence. But you know, you're saying, and the law of attraction, sometimes I prefer to think of it as the probability or the likelihood.
Okay.
Right? And I recognize that is not kind of the mainstream view of it within the community, that it's a hard and fast law. But I think that life on earth is complicated sometimes. And so sometimes I think things don't work out the way you're envisioning them to work out. But it's always teaching us something about ourselves. And we have this little story. You know what I mean when I say good luck, bad luck.
Oh, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I want to tell that story.
Okay.
It's a story we tell. It's a parable about an old Chinese farmer in ancient China he's very poor and he has one horse, the horse that helps him with all his work. And that's about his only valuable belonging. One day the horse runs away. And all of his neighbors say, oh, what bad luck he has. The only thing of value he had, his horse ran away. And the farmer says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? A week later, the horse comes home, and it brings with it 12 gorgeous, beautiful, big, strong, wild stallions. And all the neighbors say, oh, what good luck he has.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Short time after that, the farmer's son is trying to break one of the new wild horses, and he gets thrown off, and he breaks his leg. And, of course, you know what the neighbor said.
Oh,
what bad luck. And the farmer says, good luck, bad luck, who knows. Short time after that, the whole province goes to war. All the young men have to go, but his son doesn't have to go because he's home healing from a broken leg. And, of course, all the neighbors say, oh, what good luck you have. It could go on forever, right? And so
right.
In our family, whenever something happens that seems like bad luck, seems like, oh, this is a shame. Hey, we've gone out to the store and bought a bottle of champagne before and put it on ice. You say, you know what this means. There's something really great that's going to happen right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that life is like that. It ebbs and flows. And so part of law of attraction or conscious creation is learning how to ride that wave a little bit and learning how our own perception of what's going on plays into the equation to give us the result. And we can see it with extremes. Like, I think most of us know a person that we can think of that we've met or in our life or know from afar on either end of the extreme. Like the person that's always happy, always upbeat, always like so much fun to be around because it's like, oh, so-and-so's coming by. You know them. They're always upbeat, always happy, and things always going right for them.
Right.
And then the other end of the extreme, it's like, oh, we even have names. We say like someone is, I hate this for anybody named Debbie, right? Because we say Debbie Downer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. But we're talking about any person that's just, I heard someone say, a well-known speaker, and now I can't remember who it was, a kind of personal growth business speaker said, you know, the kind of person that when they get into the elevator of your life, the elevator immediately goes to the basement.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, so we also know that person that has a really sad outlook on life. Everything's always a problem. It's always a trouble. It might be dramatic, but it's always sad. It's always poor me. It's always, you know, that sense of victimhood, and a lot of things don't go well for them. Mm. Now, we've all had both experiences. We've all been down in the dumps in victim land, and we've also all felt victorious about things. And I know I'd rather feel victorious more of the time.
I think most people would. Yeah.
Because it feels better.
It does. A lot.
But that contrast, those things that happen, like having a hurricane come through. And look, I can't say that it was all me or me reaching out to people that had the power back on. What about people that are 3 miles down the road that think the same way I do, that have a good outlook and they were without power for 10 days? We went and drove around the neighborhood the next day, and there were whole chunks of areas in our neighborhood that were without power. Mm-hmm. I can't say, oh, all those people that live in those houses, they just don't have a good outlook. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Some of them have a great outlook. I'm sure some of them have the same belief systems that I have. And so it's working to their benefit, whatever they're going through.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
That's it right there. You just laid it out beautifully. Because no matter what the situation is, no matter how it's playing out, This is probably the hardest part of the whole concept that we talk about here to really get it. No matter how it's playing out, there's always a payoff. And we don't always see what the payoff is. Yeah. We don't always recognize it as a payoff, because a lot of these payoffs we would describe as, well, negative. Who would want that? And yet those payoffs exist. And to me, that just reinforces the whole idea of the law of attraction, because the law of attraction doesn't say your life's going to be rosy. Law of attraction says your life is going to be what you put into it, what you're going to be focusing on, what your thoughts are going to be about, your feelings, your actions. I mean, the whole sum of everything. In fact, if you really want to understand how the whole thing works and you want to know what you attracted into your life, look around you. You attracted all of it.
Just look around. Yeah.
Including the stuff you worked hard for.
Right.
And that's a tough concept too. That's a tough concept too. How could I have attracted what I worked for? Of course, those of us who have talked about this and done this for a while realize, well, what's the conflict between working for something and attracting it? There's no conflict.
Mm-mm.
No.
Not at all. And I think that that's really an important aspect of this to look at, is that what you were saying is that it's everything.
Yeah.
And it's all there for our benefit. So there's an idea that I've heard people say, it's like things are not happening to you. They're happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when the things that are happening for us, you know,
yeah.
aren't fun, it's hard to think they're happening for us. I had a saying that I say quite often, the universe is always supporting me. And I've had people, clients, whatever, say to me before, well, I don't feel like the universe is supporting me.
Sure.
Right? Because they're in a time in their life where there's some struggle. And what I mean by that is that the universe is neutral and it supports our story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whatever story we're telling, and that's why it's so important to be able to ride the wave, like I said, is to be able to, even when we're in the ebb and not the flow, to be able to see that it's all working for us. because that changes so much when we have that perspective. It changes the way things play out. It changes the next result that we get. I don't want to say the ultimate result because it's always just still going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the show that never ends. In fact, also, I want to point out, some people will be wondering, well, especially if you're new to the whole concept, why are you talking about the universe? Why not just say, you know, why aren't you giving credit to God on this? And the answer is that that's fine. That's a perfectly valid way to understand and look at it. That's the way a lot of people look at it.
Yeah, it is. And it is fine. I mean, I often, having been someone who's practiced several different belief systems in her life, I have a tendency to talk about the universe. But when I'm working with people, I want them to refer to whatever makes them comfortable. If they have, you know, if they want to talk about God, talk about God. For me, so many things are the same, right? Like we've talked about this before. Praying for someone, visualizing something for them, envisioning for them, meditating for them, working magic spells, whatever it is. You know, we make a wish and blow out a birthday candle. That's a magic ritual.
It's true.
Right? And if something happens to you, like I want to talk about in a minute, something that you went through in the last couple of weeks, you know, it doesn't really matter to me the way the request is phrased, whether you ask me for prayers, good thoughts, good energy, a magic spell, doesn't really matter. It's all energy. I'm all just sending blessings, right? It's like, so you hear people say, thoughts and prayers, blessings, whatever, however it gets phrased, it's all still just us sending energy and intention your way for a specific outcome.
Right.
Or for a better outcome. It might not even be specific, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So recently you reached out to your community.
Because, I did, which included you. Yeah. And it's because our cat, a male cat named Joy. There's a whole story behind that one, but he kept that name because he is a very joyful cat, always has been during the time we've had him. We actually acquired him when he and his sister, we presume it's his sister, were abandoned by people who used to live across the street from us, and we didn't know it, and they just kind of showed up on our doorstep. So we kind of infer they were probably about 4 or 5 years old, but we don't really know. I mean, when you have an adult cat, how old is the adult cat? You don't really know. But we've had them for about 7 years, and Joy is an outside cat, has always been an outside cat. He loves it out there. During non-winter months, he's out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's just who he is. And we live in an area where there are a lot of predators. We have bears, foxes, we have wolves, we have coyotes, we have, I mean, you name it. If you can think of a predator, we've got bobcats. I mean, they're all over the place here. And yet he was always very good at taking care of himself. Well, his one of his lives ran out.
Oh, gosh, really? I know.
He was caught by a predator by the neck, which is amazing in itself, and that he got away somehow. But the only thing we knew about it was that he normally came back at least once, maybe twice a day to get fed. And for about a 48-hour period, he didn't come back. And we were getting very concerned. Well, when he did come back, he was really in bad shape. By the next day, he was almost coma. Actually, he was probably comatose, but I mean, I could barely rouse him at all. Mm. He was just in really bad shape. We took him to a veterinary emergency. They did some surgery. He had abscesses. He had, what's the condition where you have low blood? He was anemic. That's it. He was heavily anemic. I mean, just really in bad shape. And I put it out to followers on Facebook, followers of this program, to you and my fellow co-hosts and so forth. Please send your prayers, your energy, everything that you can send, because we need to do what we can to help our beloved Joy to recover. And it was a time of kind of reminding myself and remembering what we talk about often here on the show, about how all this stuff works, about the nature of life and death. I mean, it's not like any of us ever get out of this whole thing alive. Well, all of us pass on at one point. This could have been Joy's time, but by the same token, Louise and I definitely didn't want him to go yet, especially if he didn't want to go, you know. And we knew that, I mean, in between bouts of tears and so forth, we knew that if we could maintain a high vibe, as we call it, or a high feeling place, and then put out there kind of like we would put out a prayer or put out an energetic request, that we wanted him to be able to heal. Not that we were going to heal him. He had to be the one who wanted to heal, but we were going to be helping him. And we were helping him both physically by getting him surgeries and so forth. Literally, I was feeding him bits of food off my fingertip. It was the only way he could take food in. He was so weak. It was the only way he could eat maybe a few mouthfuls at a time. In fact, we actually took him back a second time to the emergency hospital because he was doing so poorly, and they literally had nurses working with him around the clock, feeding him, just helping him get back into a better condition so that we could take over. And it all paid off. He was able to start taking food in, because at one point he wasn't taking any food in at all. And that's when we really got scared, because what do you do if the animal won't eat, right?
Right.
But he finally started to. And during that time, like I said, we put out requests for prayers and good vibes and so forth, and got a huge response from people who are followers of this podcast, from people in my own personal circles, from friends of friends and so forth, massive amounts. And let me tell you, within 24 hours of that happening, he made gigantic strides, just gigantic strides. And then I put out another request for help, because that was after that second visit to the emergency room. That was 24 hours later. And he made even more gigantic strides. So literally at his worst place, the veterinarians were saying it's a 50-50 chance of him surviving at all. And 48 hours later, he was almost back to being a normal cat.
It was so funny. During the period of time where he was not eating.
Yeah.
I was reading on my phone because you had sent a message. And I said, oh, no. And my husband said, what's happening? And I said, Walt's cat, Joy, it got attacked and he hasn't eaten. He stopped eating. And my husband's like, wait, Joy's a boy?
Yes, right.
He'd heard me talk about Joy before, but it's like, wait, Joy's a boy? Said, yes, Joy's a boy. And that was really like, I don't know. You know, when someone sends you a request and it feels really urgent, and you can feel the energy of your intention, like it's urgent. Like, okay, we have to send energy now. We have to think about this now. I mean, to me, it's how we do this. We think about it. We project. You know, it's like,
right.
He has got to. And I know that there were lots and lots of people that were hearing your messages and that were holding Joy in their mind.
They were.
And I was holding a picture of Joy, you know, being his frisky self and wanting to eat, having an appetite. And it was really cool to come back and see, you know, that was happening. And then you were like, okay, I need help again, because, you know, it's kind of like riding that wave, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
And it was very, very cool. So I was so excited today to show up and have you say, guess what? Like, Joy is better.
He's back to himself, his old
back
self,
to
really.
Himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you mentioned this right now telling the story, but when you just said we have bears, I was like, oh my gosh, because when you said predators before, in my mind, I'm thinking maybe a coyote, you know, but dogs or whatever.
The town we live in is Simsbury, Connecticut. It has the highest count of bear sightings of any town in Connecticut.
And you had told me that, because I said, well, what was it? When we talked earlier, you know, a week or so ago, what was it? You said, we don't know, but it was big enough to have tooth marks in both sides of his neck.
Right.
So, I mean, this was not just a little, you know, tomcat scruffle kind of thing.
This was a serious,
attack.
Yeah.
Where your vet said, we don't know if he's going to live.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, amazing.
And the thing that I kept doing, one of the things that we teach and talk about regarding how do you do this stuff, how, you know, what steps do you take, what attitude do you adopt, is we talk about trying to imagine that you and I have done some podcasts on the books by a writer named Neville Goddard, who is a gentleman who lived in the early to mid 20th century. And he gave a lot of talks on, he didn't call it law of attraction. That term hadn't been popularized yet. The term existed, but it was not a term he used. He used law of assumption if he was going to use any kind of term.
Right.
And the concept that he put out is you want to feel, how does he say it? You want to,
assume the feeling.
That's right.
Of the wish fulfilled.
Assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So basically create a scene in your mind of what it's going to be like when your wish comes true. And so that's what I would do. I would imagine what it would be like to have my cat Joy back in my lap again and cuddling up, because he's such an affectionate cat, and just doing all the things that he would do. And I would pretend that I was feeling that, which was not easy when you're in grief, you know.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, is for people that are just hearing about this and trying to get a grip of what it means and how you navigate it, is your emotions are the key to this. And there's actually a scale, an emotional scale. I think we talked about an energetic scale the last time we spoke, but it's a scale that has a bottom and a top. And so if I say the bottom are the words you just said, grief and fear,
depression
can be down there, feeling completely in despair, feeling powerless. And I mean, that's a common to the human condition. We've all had a moment when we felt that way. Hopefully we haven't had to go through years of it or anything, but we all have moments of feeling grief, feeling despair. The top of that energetic scale is joy and appreciation. And joy, isn't that funny? Appreciation and happiness and feeling empowered, feeling powerful, love and freedom. Those are at the top. So what we know, and Walt and I have talked about this so many times, is it's literally impossible to jump from the bottom to the top in one fell swoop, which is why when you're dealing with someone that is in the pit of despondency, in the pit of despair, feeling depressed, you know, it doesn't work to say, oh, just cheer up, you know, hey, just get happy, because it's too far of a jump.
It is.
But there are lots of incremental steps in there. And I was curious, I was thinking about, I was going to actually ask you, I think you answered the question before I could ask it, but I'm thinking, okay, here you are with a cat that the vet is saying might not make it. It's been attacked by a predator, it's injured, and this cat is a family member of yours.
Mm-hmm.
You love this cat. The last thing you want is for anything bad to happen to it or for it to die. And so those feelings that are down there at the bottom, feeling, you know, grief and fear and worry and all of that, they're down there. What did you do? What did you reach for? And you said, well, you were envisioning him being happy. That had to have changed your own emotional state.
It did. Yeah. And it didn't get me to that top point of joy, of happiness, but it didn't need to.
Right.
All it needed to do was to get me up that scale somewhat.
Correct. Yes.
Because we talk about climbing the scale like we're climbing steps.
Right.
So we want to just go, what's the next step I can reach for? If I can get to that step, then if I stand on that step and then try to do it again, I can get to another step.
You know, anybody, I'm sitting here, I'm the mother of two sons. They are grown and off on their own now, but I'm thinking any mother has had the kid that starts taking the stairs, you know, four at a time, and we go, don't do that, right?
Right.
One step at a time. Don't try to take five steps at a time. I'm like, yeah, why? Because you might hurt yourself. So,
more precisely, if you're in a really low vibe state, as we call it, a bad feeling state, like a depression or a deep anger or fear or something along that line, it can seem overwhelming. To try to reach too high, it becomes so overwhelming that you can actually talk yourself into staying in that state, because you've decided, I can't get that high, so I might as well, there's nothing I can do. I'm just trapped.
And there's something else that I think in our society anyway, and I'm going to say, especially maybe for women, but probably for everyone, and that is, there is a section of emotions that go up the scale that are right in that section above being insecure, being guilty, being fearful, feeling unworthy, feeling, you know, not empowered, all of that. And right above that are feeling, wanting to have revenge, or feeling jealousy, or feeling anger, or feeling hatred, or feeling like you want to blame everybody. And all of those, many of us anyway, have been trained and taught from the time we're very young that those are unacceptable.
Yeah, it's true.
And so we don't feel comfortable sometimes. I had a coaching client one time, talking to her, I realized this is one of those people that everyone probably says is the nicest person they've ever met.
Mm.
Probably never has a conflict with anyone. But what I know about someone who says, oh, I never have a conflict with anyone, is that there's probably a lot of inner conflict.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And why is that? Well, it's because we don't feel free to have a conflict with anyone. We don't feel free to complain about anything or to say that we feel angry or afraid or worried. We don't want to say those things. So what happens? We stay down underneath those things in that fear, in that despondency, because why? Well, because we can't just hop right over them and suddenly be optimistic all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work through those things sometimes. And sometimes it's a matter of being able to say, I feel really angry about this.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people won't let themselves say that. And so they stay down there in that realm of feeling really victimized. It's a feeling of so much powerlessness to mm-hmm. be down there. Like
yep.
You don't have the power to change anything. And everything is happening to you. And it's really an awful place to be. So sometimes we have to give ourselves permission. Like I asked this one client, when's the last time you got angry? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't ever get angry. I said, but these things that you're telling me that are going on, I would be angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the client was like, oh, yeah. So, because these things are unjust that are happening. So why don't you feel angry? Well, because I feel like it's wrong to be angry. I said, so I want you to get a notebook and a pen. So nobody has to see this but you. You don't have to say it to anyone's face. You don't have to mail them a letter, nothing. You're going to just rip it up after. But I want you to get in that journal and just get as angry as you can.
Uh-huh.
And she came back in a week and said, wow, I could not believe how much stuff came pouring out when I gave myself permission to feel angry. And, you know, when she had originally showed up, she was in those very low levels. Her confidence was shot. She felt despondent, despair, depressed, you know, terrible. After she got all of that out in a healthy way, right? She didn't go break anything. She didn't shoot anyone. She just got it all out, allowed herself to feel those things. When she showed up the next week, she was like a different person. And she was up in the top levels of those emotions, right? Hopefulness, optimism, feeling good.
That shows just how powerful, first of all, it is to express those feelings, because like you point out, it's important to feel free to express them. It also shows the importance of a concept we talk about a lot here on the podcast, and that's releasing or letting go, because you can't let go of something until you're holding on to it. You can't let go of something until you recognize that you're holding it.
You know, and I think that what happens, I know I said that we've been all taught, a lot of us anyway, have been taught like that's inappropriate. Right, mm-hmm. Like pretty is as pretty does, you know, like don't, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. We get all these little cliches taught to us. The other thing that happens for some of us is that we have had, growing up, we might have had somebody in our life who did not know how to process some of those emotions in a healthy way. And so they expressed them in an unhealthy way. Maybe there was violence in our home. Or maybe, you know, someone that would scream at people or throw things or in some way. And so, of course, we're fearful of that kind of behavior. And so we mark that as wrong, too. And so it's like anger gets a really bad rap. But if you're feeling angry about something, it's such great information because it means that something, some value you hold is not being honored. It's either not being honored by you yourself or not being honored by someone else. There's a reason why you feel anger. And figuring that out can dissolve the whole thing when you just recognize why it's there instead of just pretending it's not there and pushing it down and staying in that, you know, depressed state or whatever is coming out of it.
That's a big, big deal, because if we don't do that, we end up staying there. How many people just stay in that depressed state for, you know, days, weeks, sometimes months, sometimes even in extreme cases, years?
I know that depression can come from as a result of different things, but one of the things that I know for certain can cause depression is anger that is turned inward. And what that means is that it's anger that does not get expressed. And it gets bottled up and held in, and it turns into depression. So it's important to be okay with it. You know, it's like if we want to get to the place where our life is mostly feeling powerful and optimistic and hopeful and happy and, you know, joy and appreciation, all those things, we have to be willing to recognize those other things and process them in a healthy way. Then they're gone. We get rid of them instead of holding on to them. Like you said, you know, they're never going to just disappear.
Yeah, they have to be dealt with in some way. Now, we should put in the usual medical disclaimer, because you're a professional life coach, but neither one of us are medical doctors. And so
not we're a doctor. That's why I say, I know there are lots of reasons why these things can happen. I'm just going to talk about one of them that I've seen in my own practice. And I do think it's important that you get a professional evaluation of what's going on. If you have we all feel all the different emotions, or we should anyway. They're all valuable. But if there is one emotion that is giving you a lot of trouble, this is actually how we started our show today, is about asking for help.
Yes.
Right? Whether it's energetic help or medical help or emotional help or whatever kind of support that we need, I was telling somebody this the other day, that a lot of times people feel that to ask for support is a weakness, a sign of weakness.
Oh, yeah.
And the point I made to them is, I think it's a sign of power to enlist the troops, right? If you're a general, you're the one with the most power. And what is it that you do? You round everybody out. You get the help you need. You give everybody the job that they need to be doing. And so we can do that in our own life. We can ask for help when we need it. I'm the worst at not asking for help, let me tell you. I mean, I'm raising my hand. I am not acting like, oh, you need to learn how to do this. I need to learn how to do this. I was telling you, well, I pulled a muscle in my back on Sunday. And I think my husband was like at his wit's end with me still trying to do things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He would come in from the other room and I would be like, you know, hobbling around trying. He'd say, why do you not ask me to do that for you? I'm like, well, I'm just trying to take care of it. Right? And he's like, no, you need to. And, you know, of course, he lives with a life coach, so he throws it all back at me. Believe
me. Can't get away with anything.
Hold on, all my BS, all the time. Yes.
Well, that's the other thing, too. The more that I have learned about applying these concepts in my own life, and a lot of that comes from doing this podcast with you and many other people who have served as co-hosts over the years, is that one of the great benefits that has come out of it is I used to inhibit my emotions very much, to a very large extent, to the point where a lot of people who knew me didn't think I was emotional at all. Now, obviously I was, because everybody is emotional, even if they're not showing it, but I wasn't showing it. And even if there was no such thing as a law of attraction, even if there was no such thing as conscious creation, just the benefit of learning how to let my emotions run free, that's one of the best benefits that has come out of doing this show for me, week after week, show after show. I now, if I compare myself to where I was, say, well, I started the podcast 8 years ago, so let's go 10 years ago. If I compare myself to 10 years ago, it's night and day. I mean, today, when my cat was attacked, I let the tears flow. I was the one who was doing the crime. My wife was the one who was holding it in. I mean, total role reversal going on, right? But that to me showed just how much progress I had made in terms of letting that flow of emotions go. And boy, is that it! Not only is it empowering, it helps you feel good a lot more of the time, which is what we're talking about here.
Right. And you know, something that's really interesting that may help in relationship with people is, and I've been a relationship coach for 12 years, and I just now heard this in the last few months and thought, because I'm always learning something. There's always more to learn, but I have a couple of people in my life that do not readily show emotion, right? They would probably be seen as very strong, right? And, you know, they don't get dramatic and they don't get upset. but they don't show emotion easily and would probably be put in a category where people might say, oh, nothing bothers them, right? Because they don't seem bothered.
Right.
But one of the things that I recognize is that sometimes it's the people that are actually the tenderest, the people that have the biggest emotions, the people that have the tenderest hearts, because of that tenderness, they have a tendency to put up some walls and put on some armor.
Yeah.
And not show it, because why? They're like one of those, hermit crabs or something, right? It's in a shell. They build a hard shell. But if you take one of those little animals out of the shell, it's very squishy and soft, right? So they have a big squishy heart that they keep behind an armor shield. And what you see when you just look at the surface is that, oh, they're nothing bothers them and they're strong, but a lot bothers them. And they do have a lot of really big emotions. And so sometimes just knowing that, like when I kind of got that, and I'm thinking of a particular person in my life, I thought, oh gosh, I kind of approach them and think about them in a different way now. Cause I don't think of them as, oh yeah, they're just a hard rock and nothing bothers them. I think, oh no, there's a very tender soul under that shell. And I treat them as such. It might not be a big shift in how I react to them or approach them, but it helped me to recognize just because they're not showing those things on the outside, it doesn't mean they're not there. And they're probably there to a bigger extent than some of the people I know that are showing them, right? Because mm-hmm. they're protective of themselves.
Right.
We do these things, people use the word, especially in like life coachy circles, people will say that, oh, you're sabotaging yourself. Or people will say to me, well, I just totally sabotage myself. And I always say, I don't believe that we sabotage ourselves. I believe we protect ourselves. Now, we may be protecting ourselves from something that we don't even need to protect ourselves from. But we're not trying to sabotage ourselves. We just want to be protected. So I think it's an interesting thing to think about, especially hearing your story and that, like, okay, over the last 10 years, a lot has changed with you as far as being able to express emotion. It's a process.
It is a process. It's a learning curve. And it's a journey. That's a term we use a lot. It's a journey. And it really is a journey with all the bumps and bruises that come along during a journey. But nevertheless, I keep coming through.
Running out of gas and getting a flat tire.
Oh, worse things than that. I've been through some pretty difficult times. My wife Louise and I have been through some really difficult times. But they were all learning opportunities. And more than that, every step of the way, now as I look back, I can see how I was improving. I can see how I was really learning, even though I didn't understand what it was I was learning at the time. So much of the time I was going blind. I didn't know what to do with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I was glad I was doing a podcast. At least I was getting some information that way. But other than that, I didn't have a whole lot to go on. And yet, over time, as I look back, I can see I was learning quite a bit. I was picking stuff up one piece at a time. And I was trying things out. And I was experimenting and saw that this worked and that didn't work so well. And that's the way this thing goes. That's the way journeys go.
I had a period in my life when I was really sick in the early 90s. So, gosh, 30-something years ago now. Maybe two-year period where I was really sick. And the doctors could not figure out what was happening. And I did start to make some improvement. And then I had a terrible day. And I had a doctor appointment that day. And it was with a chiropractor / nutritionist who was a wonderful, wonderful person. Very, very, very compassionate doctor. And he could tell right off the bat when I walked in that I was always a very positive, upbeat kind of person, but mm-hmm. I just wasn't really able to do it that day.
You weren't feeling it.
And he said, "Tell me what's going on." I said, "I had like 5 good days in a row, and I could tell I was getting better. And then I woke up today, and I'm so sick, and I'm just, I'm losing all my hope. Like, when am I gonna get well?" And he took a piece of paper. And he drew a dot in the lower left-hand corner, And then he drew a dot in the upper right-hand corner, you know, like drawing a graph.
Okay.
And he said, everyone wants, when they're feeling way down here like you are, and they're feeling terrible, and they're very sick, and they want to get well, they want their healing journey to look like this. And he drew the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, like riding a ski lift. Whoosh,
yeah,
up
right.
To the top. And he said, it never looks like that. It looks like this. And he made this jagged line, like a stock market line, you know, up and down,
right,
up and down,
right.
Up and down. Then it did reach the top.
Yep.
Started at the bottom and it reached the top, but it went up and down, up and down, up and down. And that did so much for me, that little visual and that idea, that, you know, 30 years later, I'm still talking about it, right? It's like 30 years later, I still recognize that our journey, whether it's a healing journey, whether it's a learning, a knowledge journey, whether it's a relationship journey, our journey through life has an ebb and flow. It has ups and downs. It is never a straight line. We all want the straight line, but it's okay to have those dips in the road. Those are the running out of gas and flat tires I was talking about, mm-hmm. on the journey, right? But it's okay. And then we look back, like you just said, you look back over time and you go, oh, wow. I mean, I was so sick, people thought I was going to die, and I'm completely better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, there were moments during that 2-year period I would have never thought I could be completely better, right? And completely healed and well and healthy and have vitality. But looking back, now I see, oh yeah, I was getting better all the time, right? And so I think it's important to remember that, especially when you're learning something new like this and you're trying out new things, new methods, new ideas, new ways of perceiving, new ways of living, that there's always going to be some ups and downs.
There are. And that's just the way life is. Actually, I'll give people an advanced clue. This is a clue to what an advanced conscious creator knows. And it's usually something we don't get to till later on, but I'll give them this one clue, which is, believe it or not, you can actually get to the point where you look at those, the ebbs, the down stuff, right? And you can actually find that they're pretty good. You can actually say, I really appreciate that. And that sounds so counterintuitive at the beginner level. But that's actually a place you get to over time. You begin to realize, you know what, that kind of appreciation, I really can do it. And oh my God, it actually turns out when I am doing it, my life improves dramatically, geometrically, just because I'm doing that. Now, that's a pretty advanced concept, more than what we're trying to do with the show. But I just want to put that teaser out there that you can actually get to that point where even when the stuff isn't working out, you're okay with it.
Yep.
And you're actually feeling good.
Yes, exactly. And not just okay with it, like everything's an adventure,
huh, yeah.
Right? And like I said, there have been times when certain things have happened that we've put a bottle of champagne in the fridge because we're ready for the next thing. We're ready for the celebration. I don't plan on staying here long, right, when I'm in that spot of feeling like things aren't working out. What I recognize is that good luck, bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
As a life coach, us coachy people will talk about looking, you can almost, I've never had anybody that I didn't have this result with where I talk to them about, think of something that's really going well in your life, something that's fantastic, something that you are celebrating. Now trace that back, the turn of events that brought you to that place. And as they start tracing back, they will hit some big bump in the road that was really awful. It's the hero's journey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a few minutes left and I want to make sure that I let especially our new viewers know about it, because here on LOA Today, we actually have an app for your phone that you can download for free. Among other things, you can listen to it as a podcast because all of the episodes are recorded there. But there's also a separate section of the app labeled goodies. And we call it goodies because that's where all the goodies are located, including, among other things, an ebook that Cindy Chavez, my lovely partner here, contributed to the app. It's an ebook she wrote about 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
called The Lovely Magician's Guide to Soulmate Success. And it's basically a step-by-step guide to kind of making some of these early steps and getting to the point where all of your relationships, whether it be a romantic relationship, family relationship, business relationship, any kind of relationship, your relationships get better, particularly the ones that are giving you the hardest time.
Yes. Yay.
So take advantage and download it. It's all free. There are other goodies in there as well. And there are other co-hosts you'll be meeting. For those of you who are watching us on cable, they'll be coming up on a daily basis because we are now on cable 5 days a week. In fact, as at the time that we're recording this, I learned that we're going to be on twice a day. So the same episode will be airing at 4 p.m. and at 8:30 p.m. Each day, Monday through Friday. So you'll have lots of opportunities to download. But more importantly, if you have the app, you can also send questions in. So that, for instance, next time Cindy's on, if you have a question for Cindy based on what she's been talking about here, use the app. And there's a little question form there. You send it in. I put it on a list, and I bring it up with Cindy next time that she's on the show, which is once a week.
Do it. I love questions.
And we love questions. Oh, yeah, it's so much fun. Now, I can't say all questions are easy or even happy. In fact, while we do this recording, we also live stream it to YouTube. And one of the people listening in, she said hello, and then she just kind of dropped on us. I got the news today that a friend has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Mm. Now, clearly, that is very low vibe. It's a very unhappy situation that she's dealing with and that her friend is dealing with. So let's treat that as if she had asked a question, like, how can I help that friend out? She didn't actually ask a question, but let's pretend that she did.
Yes.
So in the 1 minute that you have left to do this, how do you handle that situation?
Love.
Mm-hmm.
You let your friend know how much he or she is loved. And that really is my answer to that question. Mm-hmm. That's the first step. The first step is letting someone know you are there for them. Whatever they need to talk, they need a shoulder to cry on, they need whatever you can give, right? And that you show them appreciation and love, because that's really what we all need. And so I would start there, and I would envision your friend healing. You know, every symptom is a healing gesture, right? So your friend's body is trying to heal, and I'm sure the doctors are helping to support the friend's body in that process. And so your job is just to love.
Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, we can't guarantee that your friend will be able to receive it. And there's a whole show we could do on that. We probably will do a show on that at one point. Mm-hmm. But if your friend is in a place where they're actually able to receive that and essentially put that to use, that love works for that friend. And even if it turns out that your friend isn't able to do that, there's somebody else who's dealing with a situation similar to that who can take it in. So it's not like it ever goes to waste. Even if it's not necessarily helping your friend the way you want it to help out, someone else is being benefited by it as well.
Yes.
So it's still worth doing. And
yeah. So like we send our love to you.
Absolutely.
Because that's not happy news to get. And, but just know that, you know, every moment is perfect. And there's a reason why you are a friend to that person and why you've gotten this news. And so just pour the love out.
That love does amazing things.
It
does.
That's at the very top of the emotional scale.
It truly is.
Love is the highest frequency.
So thank you for sharing your insights about that emotional guidance scale. And, looking forward to doing more shows. And of course, to our regular podcast listeners, you know how this one ends. We'll see you next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.